Father, we do pray again, Lord, continually, Lord, all these prayer requests we brought between shoeboxes, the children that will receive those, Lord, for the persecuted church all around the world, Lord, we pray for them in so many ways that we can help them. And praying is certainly the best, Lord, but there's so many ways to get involved with Voice of the Martyrs. Lord, in good groups like A Samaritan's Purse, by Franklin Graham. Lord, there's so many good places we can help, Lord. So we pray for them this morning. We pray for all the church family this morning. Father, we pray for one another this morning. And Lord, we ask now that you would continue to encourage us and strengthen us and speak to us as we open up the Word. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge that you are Lord, that you are co-equal with the Father and the Son, that you three are one in the same. Three persons, but one being. We don't understand it, but we do accept it and we receive it. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would come now and just continue to minister to us. We are your children. It's our inheritance to receive from you. You said that you would take from the things of Jesus and you would bring them to us, that you would teach us the things that Jesus should teach us. And so we ask you to do that, Holy Spirit. We thank you that you are a covenant-keeping God and that you're trustworthy in everything. Lord, we thank you. We bow to you and just ask you to come then and speak to us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So Psalm 48. We moved through it somewhat last week. I'll spend this week, well, we only got about 15 minutes, so believe it or not, I won't finish. I titled it again, The Glory of God in Zion, What Has God Done for His Church? So we're going to look again at the church. It's worthy to be looked at because we're commanded to do so in Scripture. This whole psalm is set apart for Zion, as well as other portions of other Scriptures are set aside for that. And so really what I want to talk about this morning is you. You who as I want to talk about. We are the church. The church is not a building, praise God. It is not a denomination, praise God. It is individuals. You are a portion of this glorious church. We have no idea how glorious the church of Jesus Christ is. We have no idea. And so the psalmist, having been moved upon by the Spirit, tries to put into words what's upon his heart, not realizing maybe the fullness of what he's saying, but yet saying it by the Spirit of God. And let's read through these 14 verses. I want to... We worked our way through about 9 of them last week. I'll touch on maybe 2, but then land on the first half of 12. And that's my subject, the first half of verse 12. But let's read it. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Isn't that right? Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in his holy mountain. Beautiful for elevation or situation. It's the joy of the whole earth. Is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great God? That's this wonderful, the city of the great King. That's what's wonderful. It's the city of the King. Do we know God dwells with us this morning? He prayed with us when we prayed for Eric and Danielle and the children. God prayed with us. He prayed with us when we lifted before him these different persecuted people, the wives Elana prayed for, and all the needs that Vani had prayed for, and what Mike had prayed for. God prayed with us. Jesus prays with us this morning. We're just not in here alone, hearing our voices echo off these wonderful walls. God is here. That's the preciousness when we come to church, realizing that God is here. I mean, if someone dropped you in the middle of the football stadium, you'd be so excited about it because all the Vikings would be there. Who are they? God is here. See how dull we are? God, how can people that seem to be so alive be so dull? How can I be so thick as to not recognize that God is here? Am I any brighter than Balaam with the talking donkey? Even the donkey could see the angel. He couldn't. how dull we can be, but God is here. This is the city of the great King. We read on in verse 3. God is in her palaces. He is known as her refuge. Do you need a refuge? God is your refuge. He either is or he isn't. God doesn't play games. He doesn't use words just to fill up pages. He is or he isn't. God is our refuge. For behold, the kings have assembled. They've passed by together. They saw it, that is the church, and so they marveled. That is our enemies. Those principalities and powers, demonic forces, whatever they might be, communists, Marxists, whatever type of governments, they look at it, they marvel. They were troubled, they hastened away. Fear took hold of them there, and pain as of a woman in birth pains. And when you break the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. So God destroyed all the enemies. They were there, but now they're gone. Verse 8, as we have heard, so we have seen in the city of the Lord of hosts. Oh, that what you've heard of God in ages past could be seen by us again today, that God would move amongst us and so recreate and rejuvenate our souls that we would be on fire for God. What a wonder to be on fire with God. Our God is a consuming fire. And this is what he said, we have heard and so we have seen. Do you want to see what God can do in the lives of your children? If you want to see that, then let him see it in your life. Our life cannot reflect any more to our children than what we have to reflect. The river cannot rise above its source. Your children need you to be crazy for Jesus. Be on fire for Jesus, not casual. So as we have heard, so we have seen. In the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God, God will establish her forever. We have thought of God. We've thought of your loving kindness in the midst of your temple. Do we think of God's loving kindness, how he loves us, how he cares for us, how we have yet another breath? God's given me more days. I don't know why, but I do want to live them for him, for him. Verse 10, according to your name, O God, so is your praise. How big is God to me? There's an old hymn, how big is God? How big is, wide is his vast domain? That no tongue can tell how big it is. And as his name is, so should his praise be. How did I praise him? If my God is this big, my praise will be lucky to reach as high as I think God is. If God is this big, then my praise will get a lot bigger, you know. And this is what it says, according to your name or your nature or your character, O God, according as I understand your greatness, O God, so is my praise after him. No one should be embarrassed to give their life to Jesus. No one should be embarrassed to get excited about Jesus. So we get excited about so many foolish things. You know, people chase bags of air around and try and get it across the chalk line. And they scream and yell about a bag of air. Or another bag of air that they shoot, and it goes through a little net. And they scream and holler about getting a little bag of air through a net or over a net. Whatever, it's so silly, but wow, this is God. So is your praise to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is full of rightness. It's full of righteousness. Get a hold of this. His right hand is full of righteousness. And he explains a little more of it in verse 10. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of your judgments. Spurgeon made this comment about his right hand is full of righteousness. It's full of it. He says, the right hand is full of righteousness. His scepter and his sword, his government, his judgments are altogether just. His hand, God's hand, is never empty. Isn't that wonderful? You'll never come to God and find his hand empty. His hand is never empty, but it is full of energy and full of power. It's full of bounty and it's full of justice. Hence the word righteousness and judgment in these scriptures that we read. And then he says this, neither saint nor sinner shall find the Lord to be an empty-handed God. Neither saint nor sinner will find the Lord to be an empty-handed God. He will in both cases deal out righteousness to the full. To the one, through Jesus, he will be just to forgive. To the other, he he will be just to condemn. His hands are full of righteousness. That's God, hands full of righteousness. So that brings us through verse 11 and now into verse 12. Walk about Zion, go all around her, count her towers, mark well her bulwarks, consider her palaces, that you may tell it to the generation following. For this is God, our God, forever and ever. He will be our guide, even unto death. So what I want to park on is this little phrase, walk about Zion and go all around her. Again, Zion is the church. What is my contemplations of the church? What are your thoughts of the church? What do you see of the church? And this is the point of the psalmist. It comes to this point for us to walk around it so that as we walk around it, we can begin to count. We can begin to mark. We can begin to consider certain things about the church and appreciate it instead of all of our scabs, warts, wrinkles, and freckles. They are so easy to see and everybody's got them and we are all experts at finding them. It's so easy to find what's wrong. You know, the ship is sinking. The ship is, well, any idiot can see a ship is sinking. How do you fix it? How do you keep it afloat? That's what we need to know. You know, or, you know, the plane is going down. Well, yeah, we can all tell the plane's going down. How do we fix it so it goes back up again? That's what we want. And so it, all of us can find the negative side of things. But so this is the command, walk around Zion. Verse 12, walk around Zion. That means walk speaks of maturity. It speaks of consistency. See, folks who are immature, do not have endurance or strength, they'll zip, zip, you know, and zip, just for a little ways, and then they're done. Okay, I did that, now I'm done. But someone who walks, who will walk, in Genesis 19, God said to Abraham, walk thou before me and be thou perfect. Walk before me, Abraham, day after day, night after night, week after week. Walk thou before me and be perfect. Walk around Zion. Just don't sprint through on a Sunday morning. Don't say hi to anybody in and don't say anybody hi on the way out. And I know a lot of what I'm saying isn't totally accurate because when it talks about Zion, it's talking about the universal church. But I don't know much about the church in Russia. I don't know much about the church in North Korea. I don't know much about the churches in Minneapolis. I'm sorry. You know, but I do know something about Bethel Fellowship Church. I know something that we're involved in. I know what my responsibility is. And I know what all of our responsibility is to one another. Walk through Zion. Do the people sitting around you know who you are? Do I know who you are? Do you know who I am? If I don't, I need to know you. I have to take time to know you. You've got to take time to know me. We've got to be together. Walk around Zion. And if people get you upset and you don't want to be around them, then don't be around them. Go to the Legion Club. But here is the church of God, this wonderful thing where God dwells. And he says, walk around Zion. Walk around the church. Consider her beauty. Consider her privileges. See, we've got to get beyond the flesh. We irritate each other so easily, but we must get beyond the flesh to see who we are in Christ's eyes. And praying that God will continue to perfect us and make us easier to love. But in the meantime, let's love one another with a pure heart fervently, Peter says. Let's love one another with a pure heart, not hypocritical, with a pure heart fervently. Walk around Zion, the church, consider her beauty, consider her privileges. This walk is to be a detailed, thorough. It says, go all around. Now, I know that the King James Version, I know that the English Standard Version, I know that the New American Standard Version doesn't have the little word all in there. But walk about Zion, go all around her. That little word is there. Go all around her. Just don't cut the corner. Let's get away from the corners and let's get with each other. Let's walk all around Zion. Let's just not stay in a corner there, or a corner here, or a corner there, or a corner there, or a corner here, or a corner there. Let's get out and let's move around. Let's walk all around Zion. Let's check the children out. Let's children check the old folks out. Let's walk around Zion, all around. I like it. It's an inclusive word. It's too bad the other versions don't have it in there, but now you have it. It's all. Walk all around Zion. See her gold and see her silver. That is the divine work of God, Christ's likeness. So it takes, I've got, in order to do that, I've got to sit back and I've got to unhook from what is so easily in the flesh. And I've got to look at Paul and I've got to say, I want to see Paul in the Spirit. That's how I want to see Paul. I want to see what God's doing in his life. I can see something of what God is doing in his life. And it's only if God does it, it's gold. And it's redemptive. It's silver. And I make a choice how I want to see Paul. I might not see him that way perfectly all the time, but I want to see Paul. Sorry for picking on you. But we want to see each other a certain way. Look at the attributes. Look at the good things. Look at what God is doing in his life. Is anybody perfect in this room? No. We're all on the same road, going the same way, hopefully, in the process. And so there's things about us that we can look at. And so look at it, her gold, her silver, the divine work of God, Christ's likeness, chosen by the Father, redeemed and paid and purchased by the Son, born again by the Spirit. See the Godhead working, the Father choosing, the Son redeeming and paying for the price. And then the Holy Spirit going to enact that which he has paid for. And the Trinity working together in the church. What a precious church. That's why the Bible in Acts 20, it says it's the blood of God. It says in 2 Corinthians 5 that God was in Christ reconciling the world. I thought it was Christ. No, they're together. And he sent the Spirit to us. So the Trinity is all working together in these things. Chosen by the Father, purchased by the Son, birthed and empowered by the Holy Spirit. This is who Paul is. If you're born again, this is who you are, and precious, and it's eternal, and it'll go on forever and ever and ever, and nothing can destroy the work of God. Nothing, nothing, nothing can destroy it. Meditate on the beauties of the church, not her warts. Again, you know, you can do 40 things right, and when you do the 41st one wrong, that's the one you're going to hear about. That's what you'll hear about. You know, yeah, well, this time you didn't do that. You know, and you got to get over it. You know, both in saying that, but also in being offended by it. We got to get over being offended about things. We all make mistakes. It's so people are so afraid in this day of age to take blame. They'll find excuses for everything and why it wasn't their fault. Yeah, it is your fault and it's my fault. Just, I'm big enough to handle it. You know, let's just go on and love one another. So love won't suffer. Let's just go on. So meditate on her beauties, not her warts. Again, see, this is a choice we have to make. I'm not going to wake up tomorrow morning and all of a sudden all you guys are perfect. When I look, oh, wow, I've never seen such a great group. Well, I haven't, actually. That's true. But, you know, there's not a flaw in any one of them. They're perfect like Christ, all of them. Oh, they're so sweet and wonderful. Every one of them, they think just like I think because I think right. You know, they feel just the way I feel about everything because I feel right. You know, and what I love, oh, they all love it just like I do because I love right. You know, and all my likes, you guys all like, just man, it's just amazing. One mind. If we added them all together, we might get one. One mind, we're all just the same. It isn't going to be that way tomorrow morning. It'll probably be the same, but I've got to make a choice. You know, sometimes we do have to deal with things. That's not what I'm saying, or sweeping stuff under the rug, but it's this change of attitude of go about her, look at her. Look at her towers, count them. Oh, they're spiraling upwards. You know, the great spires of God going upward. The bulwarks, nothing can get through. The great defenses of God. Look at her palaces. Aren't they marvelous? Look at her. This is what he's boasting about. So we meditate on her. There's nothing like the church in all the world. You can look throughout all the world at every building and Taj Mahal and whatever it is everywhere, and nothing compares, not to a building, but to the church of Jesus Christ. God looks at it, and all of the rest is nothing but dross. It will be burned up and consumed, and it will be gone in a moment. It will be gone, but the church will live on. Nothing like her in the entire world. She is absolutely otherworldly. She is God's darling on earth. She is his love gift to his Son. That's who the church is. What a privilege to be. Was it your choice to come in here? No, it wasn't. God brought you here. God birthed you here. We were dead in our trespasses and sins until God did something to us and brought us in. We should ask, What might I do to serve this church? She's so beautiful. What can I do to help? Wow, what a privilege to be here. We're going to have a Thanksgiving meal here in a couple weeks. Wow, what can I do to help and bless the community? I want to be part of this glorious church with the towers and the bulwarks, the ramparts and the palaces. I want to be part of her. I want to walk around her. Wow, I want to be part of that. Think long upon her. Go deep about how blessed we are with one another. Go deep. Pray for her. Pray deep for the church, that we might edify her. Walk around the church. What is that, to walk around the church? Who is the church? What is she? She is a great army. Strangely, that's what it tells us. The church is a great army risen up by God. The churches have brought down strongholds and pulled them down from their places and dropped them into the dust by the power of Christ. The church is wonderful. Walk around her. She is a great army risen up. She's been born twice, dead once. Praise God, we'll never know the second death. Never know. We've all known a death before. Dead in sin and trespasses and rebellion against God. Dead to ourselves. But God has quickened us and made us alive. We've been born twice. Praise God, I'll only be dead once. And that's past. I won't be dead anymore. I won't know anything about the second death. That's who the church is. The church is the miracle house of God. It's where God comes and works in our life. Whatever it is in my heart today that is causing me stress and raises up like a Goliath and mocks me, God can have it. It can be done. Let the Spirit of God move upon us as we gather together and when we spend time alone with Christ. The church is the miracle house of God. It is the hospital of holiness, is the church. What a privilege it is, this great church, God's miracle house. One woman called it, the church is this great army. This is the army. It's the one-eyed, one-armed army of God. One-eyed, one-armed army of God. Now, do you know where that comes from? It's just a little test. If anything offends you, if your right arm offends you, cut it off. If your right eye offends you, pull it out. Those are the ones going on with Christ at any cost going on. They are the one-armed, the one-eyed army of God. That's who we are. On what is the church founded? Well, we know it's built on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. The church is founded on him, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It cannot. This is unmovable. Nothing is able to move the church or to destroy it. She stands fast, held by the immutable, which means changeless. God cannot change. The church is held by the immutable, infinite love, purposes, providence of the living God. That's who holds the church. So for generation to generation, we've seen the church, and we will continue to see the church. It will never go away. According to his eternal purposes, according to his eternal. Eternal means it never had a beginning, didn't have an end. I don't understand it. But according to his eternal purposes, which he purposed in Christ Jesus before the world ever began, Ephesians 3:11, the church is not an organization. It's not built by man's strength or man's cleverness or all the plans we can put into place, though we might do those things. But that's not what builds the church. God builds the church. He is the master architect. He is the master builder, in which he himself, he comes to build and to finish. He is the one who works with us. For he who builds all things is God. Hebrews 3:4. He who builds all things is God. Think of the onslaught that the church has had. We saw a piece of it in Korea, horrible, maybe the worst place on earth, and other places. Think of what the church was like in these places and what it's against. But she will rise up. Think of the church in the book of Acts when I remember Ravenhill talking about it. Great explanation of it. The church born in the book of Acts. On the one side was the most powerful empire in the world. The Roman Empire hated the church. On the other side was the Jewish religion. The most religious nation in the world hated them. Think of what they had. A bunch of uneducated men. 120 in an upper room. And today the world's turned upside down. You can't keep the church down. Be a part of it. We got to be excited about it. Walk about Zion. Walk around her. Check her out. Go all around her and look at the church. What a privilege. Are you in the church? Am I in the church? Am I born again? Because the only way into the church is not through a membership list, not even through baptism. It's through being born again, surrendering to Christ, and Christ coming into my life and changing all my desires from sin and self to him. Let Christ put us in the church. It's wonderful. One more thing. She's withstood all those things, all the onslaught that she's had. Think of her church's history, not just today, but think of the history of the church. Wow, it's glorious. Think of her ministers. Think of her missionaries. Think of her martyrs, which today we've thought about. Think of them. That's all part of the heritage of the church. This is a legacy that has been passed on to you. Think of Hebrews 11, of all of those saints through Hebrews 11. All that legacy is passed on to you. You are of the lineage of these giants. Their blood goes through your veins, courses through your veins. The spirit that made them men and women of power courses through your veins in the Holy Spirit. That's who we are as a church. It's tremendous. Burst, this great church, you know, goes back to way back into Eden and through Abraham and through Joseph, and I'm just picking certain ones, and through Joseph, these mighty men, through Egypt through Moses, and then Israel as it was birthed through Egypt, through the Red Sea, like a birth canal through the Red Sea, Israel came out. That's the church. And you can continue to follow it through. Moses, the man who knew God face to face. Joshua, he who was timid and afraid and needed courage and yet became the champion of Israel at the time. Then we have a King David who was but a little shepherd boy. But God raised him up and he laughed in the face of a giant and slew him. The giant cut his head off. Who are you, you uncircumcised dog, that you should rebel, that you should ridicule the armies of the living God? Who are you? This is David. He's your brother. You got his blood running through your veins. We're all soldiers. That's who our lineage are. We're not Gumbies. You know, isn't that little toy that you can move around and wiggle? He's got no backbone. That's not who we are. No, we're these wonderful men. David, mighty. He's a mighty man of war. Think of Peter and Paul and John, these great saints that gave us the New Testament, where they came from. But we're of the same lineage. Peter says, you're of the same faith as me, in his epistle of like precious faith. We're the same. We have the same faith. We don't have a different salvation than Paul had. You have the same God in you that Paul had in you. You have the same Holy Spirit in you that Peter or John had in you. We're in the same family. This is the church. Walk around the church. Take a look at her. Look backwards. We can't look forwards very far, but this is them. Think of these gallery of saints we have. Again, I can go through the early church fathers. Clement, and Polycarp, and Augustine, and Justin Martyr. And have you ever heard of the Bogomils? Persecuted folks. Way back in the Dark Ages. Butchered for their testimony of Christ. The Waldensians. Another group of people who were persecuted and butchered for their faith. They stayed away from the Roman Catholic Church, and so, thus they were attacked and marched off of cliffs and mountains to their death. But they would not surrender their faith to anyone. They wouldn't do it. This is our heritage again. These wonderful missionaries and martyrs and ministers, John Huss, John Zwingli, Wycliffe, Tyndale, John Rogers. Do you know who John Rogers is? He's the first martyr of the Protestant Church in England. Burned at the stake, tortured. He didn't cause him to blink. He'd gladly take the flames. He'd gladly do it. John Rogers, look at these guys. Luther, Calvin, all the great hearts and souls and minds of the Puritans. Look at how they stood. At one time in the year of 1662, I believe it was called the Great Ejection. 2,000 ministers, the greatest preachers this world has maybe ever seen outside of the apostle, 2,000 of them were kicked out of their pulpits in England because the government was so afraid of their power. They were such orators. They moved with such power of the Holy Spirit when they spoke. Their depth and knowledge of the scriptures was unsurpassable. And 2,000 of them were booted out at the same time. It's called the Great Ejection, the Act of the Great Ejection. And it went on to even further. People still gathered even though they couldn't go in church. And so they let them. They couldn't get within 5 miles of their church anymore. These are men. These are in our heritage. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them. How about the Wesley brothers? How about George Whitfield, Edwards? Look at them all. William Carey, the father of foreign missions. Hudson Taylor, Amy Carmichael, David Livingston, C.T. Studd, the Elliot, Jim Elliot, Elizabeth Elliot, put her name in there as well. And time would fail me to go on and on and on and on, of whom the world is not worthy, and they are our brothers and our sisters, and the spirit that moved them is in you, and it's in me. The same Spirit is in me and in you, their blood. We have their lineage. If we did a family tree, we'd bump into them. Our roots are in them because they're in God and we're in God, because they were born of the Spirit of God, and so are we, I think. We should be born of the Spirit. That's who we are. Walk around the church. Count her towers. Study her ramparts. Gaze upon her palaces. We're all in their lineage. All of these ones that we named, all of them once were sinners, defiled in his sight. But now they're arrayed in pure garments, aren't they? Arrayed in his sight. That's who they are. Just like you. You didn't get in any other way than them. They all once were sinners. So were you. You know, such were some of us. But now we are washed and cleansed. That's who they were. All these were sinners defiled in his sight, now arrayed in poor garments. In praise we unite. Let's praise him. This is who our brothers and sisters are. Oh, it's a big task. We shrink back because, oh, if I'm going to live up to my family heritage, forget your last name. That's got nothing to do with it. This heritage we're talking about as we walk around Zion, if I'm going to live up to my family name and my family heritage, I'm not going to be able to put up with this that I put up with. I'm not going to have to be a slouch. I can't live like that anymore. I can't compromise with the world anymore. I'm going to have to be different if I'm going to live like my brothers and my sisters. I'm going to have to change. I'm going to have to give up my sin. I'm going to have to give up my comfort. Oh, I don't know if I want to do that. I'll just sit here and fall asleep and relax. Because I don't, oh, but what a day, what a thing we'll pay in that day when we stand before the great divine Christ and give an account for our lives. What will we say at that point? These towers, these ramparts, palaces are all figures of God's work in the soul of men and women as well. They are men, but they are also figures. What God is doing, is he building a tower in your soul that reaches up to heaven? And men look at you, women look at you and say, wow, this person's different. They shine. They're like a tower. That's who. And I'm getting ahead a little bit for next week. But they're people. They're different figures. Defensive. Are you protecting your family? Are you protecting the church from what's going on out there? Are we protecting our souls from the attacks that's coming upon us? We are towers. We are ramparts. We are bulwarks. We are palaces. Oh, the divine place where we live. Where do we live? The palaces is where they lived inside the walled city. Where do I live? It's wonderful. But perhaps today, somebody in here needs to be encouraged. Maybe somebody in here needs a hug. Needs to be told they're precious. Just needs to be said thank you to. Maybe they just need a smile. Maybe they need a love. Somebody in the church today, walk around her. See her. Love her. Fall in love with her. Encourage. Give a word. Give a smile. Give a love. And best of all, as we walk around the church, around Zion, this great Zion, best of all is that God dwells here. Within each believer, God is here. Within the church, universal, God is tabernacled there. Though he may not be seen, Satan knows where he is. Principalities and powers know where he is. They know where they can and cannot go. Best of all, God is here. God is here. Walk around Zion. Look. Survey, walk, look, consider that you may see God's work. And that in seeing it, this is where we go on, and that in seeing his work, we would appreciate the church much greater than we've ever appreciated it before, and in a greater way, in a way in which God appreciates the church, okay? So that we may pass it on to another generation. When you come in this building, I know it's just a building, but when you come in this building, people meet God here. I meet God here. Here it is where as a group together, as a corporate body, we choose to raise our hands and cry out to God. Teach it to the next generation. Walk around Zion. Look at these things that we might pass them on to another generation. Unless I'm doing it, I can't pass it on. So walk around the church in our hearts, in our minds, in our love, in our souls, in our bodies. Walk around the church. So there's my challenge today. Let's close in prayer. And then we're going to have a meal together, I understand. Is that right? Great. Okay. Oh, Lord, thank you, Father. We thank you for the blessing of the miraculous bride of Christ, that you have raised her from the dung heap of society, Lord. No man, no woman has sunk so low that you cannot redeem him or her and make them into a treasure for Christ. Make us, Lord, into a Zion. Make us into great towers, great ramparts, Lord, great palaces. Lord, we can walk around and appreciate what you have done, Lord. Help us to walk around you, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we would mingle with you and be mixed with you and be godded with God. Lord, have your way amongst us, we pray. I thank you for my dear brothers and sisters here. Lord, I ask your blessing upon them. Thank you for Eric and Danielle, Lord, and what they've meant to us. Lord, we hate to see them go, but we ask that you love them intently, Lord, as they go to Kansas. We thank you again for one another, and we commit all these things to you now in Jesus' name. Amen.